The Kazan Uprising, 968 to M41. In the early hours of the morning of the 12th day of the 5th bilunar cycle, the imperial planet of Kazan was riven by open revolt. All across the planet, covens of chaos cultists, aided and abetted by other disaffected elements of the population, attacked vital strategic locations. Within hours, Kazan was in turmoil, as battles between loyal Imperial forces and the cultists and their allies erupted everywhere. To compound the problem for the defenders, reports soon started coming in that units of darkly armored Chaos Space Marines from the Night Lord's Traitor Legion were involved in the fighting. By the end of the first day's confused fighting, over half of Kazan's major population centers were controlled by the rebels. Most vital of these was the planet's capital, the ancient Imperial city of Vogan. The battle for control of the city was to last for the duration of the uprising, and matched in intensity and ferociousness any city fight in recent Imperial history. Planetary details. Kazan is an A-class agri-world, located approximately 75 light-years to the galactic south of the important Imperial planet of Cadia. The Cadian sector stands upon the edge of the Eye of Terror, within a narrow corridor of stable space called the Cadian Gate. This forms the one and only predictable passage between the chaos-infested demon worlds of the Eye of Terror and Earth. Although Kazan lies well over 100 light-years from the Eye of Terror, its loss would be a terrible blow to Imperial defenses. Kazan is a stable planet, little troubled by subterranean activity, while its twin moons are so small and distant as to have very little effect on the planet's surface. It is the most important producer of foodstuffs in the Cadian sector, and Kazan kelp cakes form over half of the dietary requirements of the human populations on planets within 100 light-years. The nutritious seaweed, which is used to produce Kazan's main export, is collected and processed by huge, mile-long harvesting ships which constantly criss-cross the shallow oceans that make up 98.3% of the planet's surface. Kazan is home to some 4 million Imperial citizens, most of whom work on the harvesting ships and in the towns and ports that service them. All of the planet's population centers are located on the landmass located in Kazan's northern pole, which forms the planet's only solid land above sea level. The population hugs the coast of this continent, leaving the heavily forested interior untouched apart from the small settlements and outposts scattered along the roads and trails which link the coastal population centers. The fleet of harvesting ships are owned and run by a number of small family cartels, each of which is based in a different port. There is great rivalry between the different cartels, and open warfare between them over the right to harvest a particular lush kelp bed is not unknown. The only neutral ground where members of the different cartels are willing to mix without outright war breaking out is in the city of Vogan. Vogan is Kazan's capital, and from here, the planet's Imperial Governor rules in the name of the Imperium. It is the only city on Kazan that has a spaceport. Because of this, all of the cartels must bring their goods to Vogan in order to have them exported. And for most of Kazan's history, this has allowed the planet's governor to keep the unruly family business empires in line with Imperial policy. The Kazan Uprising. The tragedy of the Kazan Uprising was that it could have been easily avoided. It came about through the greed and misjudgment of one man, Imperial Governor Herakon Cadalus. As already noted, all goods exported from Kazan had to leave from Vogan's single spaceport. Since the founding of the planet, a tax had been levied on the goods exported, technically to pay for the support and upkeep of the spaceport and planetary defense force. It had been long accepted that some of these taxes found their way into the pockets of the staff and officials of the planetary government. Governor Cadalus, however, was a vain and greedy man, and he deemed a bigger and bigger share of the money raised from the charges levied on the cartels for using the spaceport. This had a twofold effect. It led to cutbacks in the planet's defenses in order to pay for Cadalus's excesses, and it led to growing discontent amongst the planet's population as the cartels began passing on their increased costs to their workforce. Within a decade of Cadalus being appointed governor, the situation was ripe for disaster. All that was required was a spark to set it off. The spark came in the form of Van Goyen, a petty thief and con man who was wanted in over a dozen imperial systems for impersonating officials of the ecclesiarchy and convincing gullible citizens to donate their savings to him for the betterment of the imperial cult. Until he arrived on Kazan, Van Goyen had simply used his ill-gotten gains to finance an extravagant and luxurious lifestyle. At some point, however, he clearly came into contact with agents of the Chaos Gods, who found in him a very useful servant. When Van Goyen arrived on Kazan, he immediately set about founding covens dedicated to the gods of Chaos. His honeyed words and promises of wealth and freedom from imperial oppression falling on the fertile ground tilled by Catalyst's corruption and greed. Very quickly, Van Goyen was able to build up a network of covens dedicated to overthrowing the government of the planet. Once they were strong enough in numbers, Van Goyen's followers began arming themselves and preparing for war. Word was sent by nefarious means to the Night Lord's Traitor Legion, who dispatched their hardened warriors to aid Goyen. On the 12th day of Kazan's fifth bilunar cycle, just over a decade after Van Goyen had arrived on the planet, the rebels struck. The rebel forces. The rebel forces that took part in Kazan's uprising ranged from bands of untrained cultists armed with homemade weapons through to battle-hardened Chaos Space Marines of the Night Lord's Traitor Legion and just about everything in between. As well as human warriors, the rebels were aided by demonic creatures summoned to the battlefield from warp. However, the actual number of such summonings was very small indeed. The exact reason for this is unclear, but it would appear that Vogan's great distance from the Eye of Terror and the lack of real devotion to any of the Chaos cults shown by Van Goyen's followers and the Night Lord's Space Marines may have been contributory factors. Whatever the reason, it was human warriors rather than supernatural monsters which did most of the fighting during the Kazan uprising. The bulk of Van Goyen's army was made up of cultists. Although they lacked heavy equipment in the form of armored vehicles or heavy artillery, many of the cultists were well armed with lasguns and heavy weapons such as missile launchers and heavy bolters, which had been stolen from the Planetary Defense Force or smuggled onto the planet. At the start of the uprising, the cultists had little training or experience, but this was quickly learned over the course of the campaign, and by the end of the fighting, the best cultish units were equal to any of the Cadian Imperial Guard units that they fought. The cultists were backed up by a large number of trained military units from the Kazan Planetary Defense Force, or the KZPDF. About a third of the KZPDF went over to the rebels, providing Van Goyen with a cadre of well-trained and equipped personnel, which proved invaluable. Rebel KZPDF armor and artillery were particularly useful, especially in the early stages of the uprising, where they were used to crush Imperial strongpoints and bastions. Later in the campaign, the arrival of Imperial Navy fighters and orbiting spacecraft made it increasingly difficult for Rebel armor and artillery to operate successfully, but even under these conditions, they proved a constant thorn in the side of the Imperial forces. However, probably the most important result of the disloyalty of so many KZPDF units was that the Imperial Guard and Space Marine forces drafted in to suppress the rebellion did not trust or respect the ones that had remained loyal. In many cases, this distrust was completely unjustified, but nonetheless, it led to a number of situations where attacks were aborted or held up because Imperial commanders did not trust loyal KZPDF, which were fighting alongside them. The least numerous but most dangerous element in the Rebel Army was the units from the Night Lord's Chaos Space Marine Legion. The Night Lords do not appear to worship any one of the Chaos Gods and, following the Horus heresy, have instead become cynical, hard-bitten, and frighteningly ruthless warriors. They fight for the pleasure of it, and for the material rewards it can bring, and not because they worship some deity. Over the millennia, the Night Lords have ceded many uninhabited planets close to the Cadian Gate with their forces in order to take advantage of such an opportunity as the Kazan Uprising. Even though the Night Lords must have known it was unlikely that Kazan would fall to Van Goyen's forces, they dispatched a small number of Night Lord Chaos Space Marines to take part in the fighting. It seems clear now that their aim was to draw as many Imperial units as possible from elsewhere in the sector into the battle, in the hope that the disruption caused by the uprising would provide them with rich pickings from the neglected worlds. Although it is unlikely that more than 100 Night Lord Chaos Space Marines took part in the uprising, the effect of their presence was out of all proportion to their numbers. Panic spread like wildfire when word that Chaos Space Marines were on the planet, and the presence of just a squad of these fearsome warriors was enough to break the will of all but the bravest defenders. Later in the campaign, squads of Night Lords were used to bolster the defences of the most vital strong points, and to lead sudden counterattacks to capture lost ground. It was only with the arrival of the 5th and 9th Imperial Fist Space Marine Companies that the Imperial forces were able to deal adequately with the Night Lord units that were fighting on the planet. The Imperial Forces. The Imperial forces on Karzan can be split into three distinct groups: the Loyal Planetary Defense Force, Cadian Imperial Guard units, and Space Marines from the Imperial Fist Space Marine Chapter. The troops that made up the KZPDF were of very mixed quality. Almost a third joined the rebels at the start of the campaign, and many of those that remained were of dubious quality. Endemic corruption affected many units, and Governor Catalyst's policy of awarding positions in the PDF to his cronies and sycophants meant that combat efficiency suffered. There were very notable exceptions, however, in particular the troops of the elite Karzan Commando and the Karzan Mountain Ranger regiments fought extremely valiantly, but these were the exception rather than the rule, and the bulk of the hard fighting to quell the Karzan uprising was performed by the Imperial Guard and Space Marines fighting on the planet. Almost all of the Imperial Guard units that fought on Karzan were from Cadia, and it was they who bore the brunt of the fighting in the campaign. The 122nd Cadian Regiment was already stationed on the planet at the start of the campaign and offered the only really serious opposition to the rebels in the early hours and days of the uprising. Later, the 9th and 72nd Cadian Infantry Regiments were transported to the planet, along with elements of the 3rd Cadian Heavy Tank Regiment, whose Bane Blades and Shadow Swords proved invaluable in reducing the rebel strongholds in the Dragonspine Mountains to rubble. The Cadians were well equipped and trained, and had been honed by years of fighting against Chaos Raids near the Cadian Gate. Nevertheless, the ferocity of the fighting matched anything in Cadian military history, and by the end of the campaign, almost a third of the Cadian troops involved had been killed or wounded. Towards the end of the uprising, the loyal KZPDF and Imperial Guard regiments were reinforced by the 5th and 9th companies of the Imperial Fist Space Marine Chapter. The Imperial Fists, a first founding chapter, have been famed for their skill at siege warfare ever since the days of the Emperor's Great Crusade. Their expertise at city fighting was put to good use in the desperate battle for the Palace of Peace, which marked the closing stages of the Battle of Vogan. The Capture of Vogan. The Battle for Vogan began as it was to end, in blood, death, and confusion. The rebels' presence on Karzan and their preparation for war had not gone completely unnoticed by the planet's defense forces. However, the huge scale of the rebellion and the extent of their preparations came as a terrible shock. The rebels had chosen their time for the beginning of their uprising very carefully. It was the date of Imperial Governor Catalyst's birthday and had been proclaimed a public holiday. Over half of the planetary defense force had been given leave so they could join the celebrations. Those PDF units that were on duty were mainly Von Goyen's followers who had volunteered to serve that day. The rebels possessed detailed information about Vogan. They had divided the city into four attack zones and had pinpointed nearly every military installation. Units were assigned to each location and given orders to capture it, no matter the cost in lives. Cult leaders had prepared a detailed list of over 200 targets and had listed individual Imperial officials to be captured or killed. Inside the city, Colonel Karnow, commander of the 122nd Cadian Regiment, which was stationed on the planet, was worried. He felt that all the signs pointed to an imminent uprising. Cancelling all leave, he placed his units on alert and gathered his staff in the regiment's HQ compound, which was located in the city. He decided to leave the bulk of the regiment in their containments located outside Vogan, trusting to the KZPDF to be able to deal with any trouble that occurred inside the city. This proved to be a mistake, but when the attack came, the only other loyal troops located in the city were the Adeptus Arbites units based in their precinct house to the south of the city. When the uprising began, the Adeptus Arbites Precinct House and the 122nd Regiment's HQ were to become the only two islands of resistance in the city. The attack started when mobs of cultists poured into the city streets. Those loyal citizens that did not join the rebellion were forced to hide in their houses or be killed by the mob, which had been whipped into a frenzy of hatred by the leaders of the cult's covens. All across Vogan, people that failed to escape were sacrificed upon makeshift altars dedicated to the dark gods of chaos. The streets ran with blood, and the air was rent by the gurgling screams of sacrificial victims. Walls were daubed with the marks of the chaos gods, and any icons of the imperial cult were desecrated or destroyed. Buildings were torched, the fires running unchecked and lighting the city with a dreadful, hellish glow. Monstrous creatures, drawn from the warp by these nightmare scenes, appeared and rampaged through the city, killing all that got in their way, rebel or loyalist alike. At the centre of Vogan lay the Imperial Governor's residence, a mighty citadel known as the Palace of Peace. When the uprising began, Governor Cadalus and his closest cronies were taking part in a debauched birthday celebration. Unknown to them, most of the palace guard had been infiltrated by cultists. Those guards that were still loyal were quickly and quietly dispatched. The revelers did not even know that anything was untoward until von Goyen himself strode into the banqueting hall. Snapping his fingers, he ordered the guards to hurl Cadalus and his followers in the palace's dungeons, where he would deal with them at his leisure. The strongest bastion in the city of Vogan had fallen without a shot being fired. Meanwhile, a sea of cultists were attacking the Adeptus Arbites Precinct House and the 122nd Regiment's HQ. Again and again, the cultists hurled themselves against these objectives, but both positions were heavily fortified and surrounded by razor wire and minefields, and it proved impossible for the lightly armed cultists to take them. Even the blood-crazed leaders of the cultist mob soon realized that further attacks were futile, so they changed tactics and tried to subdue the defenders with heavy weapons and sniper fire from overlooking buildings. Surrounded and cut off, unaware that rebel attacks were happening across the entire planet, the Arbites and guard garrisons could do little other than hold out and pray to the Emperor for help. All around these compounds, rebel units from the KZPDF and their cultist comrades controlled the city. While the PDF troops began fortifying their positions and preparing defenses, the cultists carried on hunting down any loyal Imperial citizens trapped in the city. Above the Palace of Peace, a huge banner was unfurled, bearing the mark of chaos undivided. As if this were a signal, at the very moment the banner was unfurled, a Thunderhawk gunship belonging to the Night Lords roared down from orbit and landed in the palace courtyard, disgorging half a dozen squads of Chaos Space Marines to help secure the city. It had taken the rebels 2 hours to capture Vogan, the planet's capital and largest city. Holding out. Although von Goyen and his followers did not know it, this was to mark the high point of the uprising. All over Karzain, the cultists had been successful and the Imperial defenders had been caught unprepared. But now the defenders knew what they were up against and, more importantly, they knew who their enemy was. Although hundreds of thousands had joined the Chaos Covens and a third of the KZPDF had joined the rebellion, the majority of the population remained loyal to the Imperium, and they now started fighting back. Within days, the outnumbered rebels were forced back on the defensive. The poorly armed and poorly trained cultists suffered especially badly on those early days, with thousands dying in futile wave attacks on Imperial strongpoints. The monsters that had appeared to aid the rebels in the first day's fighting were either slain in these battles or returned to the shadowy realm from whence they came, leaving the rebels to fight on, unaided. Finally, von Goyen realized that these attacks did little other than to deplete the ranks of his followers and called them off. But by then, 2 in every 3 of the cultists were already dead. The KZPDF and Night Lords fared better, but they were stretched very thin. The arrival of fresh Cadian troops just 3 weeks after the rebellion began sealed the fate of the rebels and meant it was only a matter of time before the rebellion was crushed. Within Vogan, the 122nd Regiment HQ and Adeptus Arbites compounds proved to be 2 terrible thorns in the side of the rebels. Both lay within the city walls and allowed Imperial reinforcements to get within the city without having to fight their way in. Instead of having a secure and heavily fortified position, The rebels had to defend against multiple threats from within what they thought would be their defensive perimeter. In the early days of the rebellion, von Goyen launched several furious assaults against each stronghold, but even with the aid of the rebel artillery to pound the defenders, and with the demons and Night Lord's Chaos Space Marines to spearhead the assault, it proved impossible for the rebels to fully capture the compounds. Outnumbered and outgunned, the defenders gritted their teeth and held on as best they could, selling their lives as dearly as possible, and making the rebels pay in blood for every yard of ground they took. By the end of the first day, there were only a half dozen men in the 122nd Regiment HQ who were unwounded, and the situation was little better in the Arbites Precinct House. It seemed impossible that the two positions would not fall, but wounded and unwounded men alike kept on fighting furiously. This desperate defense, through that terrible night as shells exploded on the compound and monsters howled in the darkness, brought just enough time for a relief column to fight its way the 12 kilometers from the regiment's main camp to the two compounds. When the rebels attacked again at dawn on the second day, they were met by fresh Imperial Guard troops and were driven back with heavy losses. Half-hearted rebel attacks continued for the rest of the day, but none made any headway. Reluctantly, von Goyen was forced to yield the initiative, dig in and await the Imperial counterattack. The Reconquest. Starting with the third day of the Battle for Vogan, troops from the 122nd Regiment, eventually reinforced by troops from two other Cadian regiments and the Imperial Fist Space Marine chapter, began the building-by-building reconquest of the city. Every alley, street corner, window and wall harbored potential death. The only way to advance was to blast an entrance in a wall with a grenade or plasma charge and then charge through the breach. Casualties amongst the assault troops were very high. Just to make such an assault once called for great courage, but the guardsmen of the 122nd Regiment were called upon to do so again and again, day after day, week after week. Very few survived such fighting unscathed, either in body or mind. The terrain in Vogan aided the defenders and denied the attackers advantages in terms of mobility and heavy support. The rebels quickly learned that their best tactic was to stay as close to the attackers as possible, making it impossible for Imperial artillery or air support to be used without risk of hitting friendly troops. The fighting became a deadly close quarters fight, with quarter neither asked nor given. The rebels, aided by local cultists and captured slave labor, turned each building into a fortress. Heavy weapons were carefully positioned to cover streets and alleyways. The city's sewers were used to allow squads to move quickly to the threatened locations, or to make a sudden and unexpected counterattack. The attackers countered such threats by sending their own troops down into the sewers, so that fierce battles were fought between the sewer rats of both sides and the darkened tunnels that lay below Vogan's streets. On the surface, Lehman Russ battle tanks were used to support squads as they assaulted a building. The tank would advance along the street, blasting any rebel heavy weapons that they could see. The infantry assault team would work their way from building to building, methodically reducing each rebel position and clawing the city back. From high vantage points, snipers from both sides fired down into the streets below. Deadly man-to-man sniper duels were not uncommon. Whilst the Cadians battled in the south of the city, loyal KZ-PDF units were operating to the north, using the Adeptus Arbites Precinct House as their jumping-off point. Troops from the 2nd and 6th KZ-PDF regiments began to clear the north wall of the city. After 4 days of hard fighting, the 6th Regiment was able to capture the North Road Gate, making it possible for loyal KZ-PDF units to start entering the city. Facing opposition every bit as determined as that faced by the Cadians, the KZ-PDF regiments continued their advance. Slowly, the Cadians and loyal Kazan troops began pulling the noose tight on the rebels. After 3 weeks of continuous fighting, the rebels had been driven back into their final strongholds in and around the Palace of Peace. But although Imperial troops had recaptured over 3/4 of the city, the rebels were by no means beaten. They still held strong positions and were perfectly capable of launching bold counterattacks. The Night Lord's Chaos Space Marines were still a potent threat, leading counterattacks and carrying out raids behind Imperial lines. What was more, the attackers had been bled dry in the fierce fighting and were all but exhausted. For nearly another month, The fighting in Vogan became locked into a grinding war of attrition, with neither side able to break the deadlock. The final assault. But although the rebels had weathered the storm of the first Imperial assault on the city, the result, in the long run, was not in doubt. Soon, fresh Imperial troops joined the battered troops already in the city. Most important of these were two full companies of Imperial Fist Space Marines. The presence of these champions of the Imperium, renowned throughout the galaxy as one of the great first founding chapters, did much to restore the spirit of the troops that had been fighting for 7 weeks in the ruined city streets of Vogan. Within days of their arrival, the final assault on Von Goyen's stronghold in the Palace of Peace began. The Imperial Fists were famous for their skill at siege warfare, but nonetheless, the difficulty of the assault on the Palace of Peace matched anything in their history. Imperial tanks could not operate in the narrow streets and alleyways that made up the palace grounds. The palace walls were thick and heavily fortified, and making a breach was often difficult, if not impossible. The fighting degenerated into a series of headlong assaults, with attackers having to fight their way forward across the bodies of their fallen comrades. Yet the relentless advance continued, and slowly the rebels were driven back. Finally, after almost 3 months of heavy fighting, only a few dozen rebels were left alive. By order of the High Command, the surviving members of Vogan's Adeptus Arbites were allowed to lead the final assault. The Arbites charged forward, roaring their litanies of justice, served as they advanced, some carrying scaling ladders to get over the walls and into the last stronghold. The rebels fought hard, but were horribly overmatched and died to a man. Von Goyen's body was found in the palace dungeon, not far from the hideously tortured body of former Governor Cadalus. Von Goyen had taken poison rather than being captured. Meanwhile, far above the dungeons, the troops of the Adeptus Arbites hurled down the last chaos banner that had flown over the Palace of Peace for the duration of the rebellion. The Kazan Uprising was over.
Thanks for watching, everybody. I really love this Siege of Vogan thing. I remember it quite vividly from when I was a kid. It was great. I even bought this book. I never even once played a City Fight game, but this was like the lore in the City Fight sort of supplement. The first one they ever did. And it was really, it's quality. I don't know what it is. It just really got me. Maybe I was watching World at War at the time with Stalingrad and stuff. So it really played into that. But yeah, quality stuff. Anyway, if you'd like to support the channel, please consider using the links below. Otherwise, I will see you again next time. And thanks to everybody who is supporting the channel. Really appreciate that. And do remember to give the video a like. That's great. All right. Thanks very much. Bye.